This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. So, before beginning tonight, I wanted to say thank you to all of my radio listeners, all of you guys out there in listening land, for allowing me to come into your consciousness for a little while each night that I'm on and invade your privacy, invade your ears, and allow me to speak some things that I find, speak my truths that I have discovered. And hopefully tonight you'll be at least reasonably entertained by what I have to bring you. Tonight we're going to talk about haunted houses, and we're going to talk about ghosts and spirits, and what they may or may not be, and what they may or may not mean to all of us. I have a lot of personal experience with it all, and I thought that I would bring the subject up because, you know, talking about the paranormal is something that I'm really interested in doing, and it's something that I would like to do a lot more often. It's just unfortunate that there also tends to be a lot of other things that need to be talked about. But we're definitely going to talk about the paranormal tonight. So stay tuned for all of it. I think you're going to really enjoy it. I have a bit of news that I've run across that I think you guys might be interested in. Some of this is a little disturbing to me. One of the things that I've run across is the fact that it has been announced that there are now essentially more slaves worldwide than at any other time in human history. It's estimated that at this point in time, there are over 27 million slaves worldwide. These are slaves in different countries that are either there for sexual slavery or for labor purposes, lots of different things. But this announcement has come out saying that, yes, essentially 27 million at least people in the world right now are suffering as slaves. That's really disturbing to me. I mean, here we are in the year 2015, and we still have a problem in the world with slavery, something that you would think would have ended a long time ago in the human consciousness. But it is apparently still something that we are suffering with and something that we still need to learn to grow out of. And it's just something that I wanted to make you guys aware of, because a lot of us, we live comparatively cushy lifestyles to other people that are out there. There are a lot of people who are homeless. There are a lot of people who are going through financial troubles and that sort of thing that we tend to forget about, especially since the Christmas season has now passed us. That's something that's always focused on during that holiday season. But then right after it's done, nobody really ever thinks about it again. And I want to encourage people to do what you can to add a little bit of a positive into other people's lives. Do what you can to make someone's life better, even just for a moment, because you really can make all of the difference in their life. Speaking of which, the next news article that I have says, the nation's wealthiest think that the poor have it pretty easy. This was a study that was done on both those that are in the higher echelons of wealth, as well as those who are living beneath the poverty line. And they did this study to try to compare the attitudes of both levels of society, basically, to see how people act or react in different situations or scenarios. A survey was done, and it was found that 54% of those with the greatest financial security believe that poor people today have it easy because they can get government benefits without doing anything in return. Only 36% of the wealthiest say poor people have hard lives because government benefits don't go far enough to help them live decently. Now, I have lived very poor in my life, as I'm sure a lot of you people out there have as well. Even in the middle class, a lot of people live very hard because the things have in society these days have skewed a lot. The fact is that if you have no debt in your life and you have $10 in your pocket, you are actually wealthier than 80% of the rest of America. I mean, that's a scary statistic, but it is true. The fact is that America especially has become so debt dependent that if you don't have any debt and you even have just 10 bucks in your pocket, you're better off than 80% of the rest of the Americans. That's a pretty scary statistic. And that's something that I think people really need to pay attention to, because we have right now in America, we have a lot of financial problems that are going on. If you listen to Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera, sometimes he has Stu on and talks about the different financial issues that are going on. And it's pretty crazy what all is happening. You can tell that things are falling apart swiftly and that they are really trying their hardest to suck as much of us dry as they can before everything collapses. And it's coming. Whether you like it or not, things are going to change. Whether that's for the better or for the worse is really dependent upon us. Us, the great unwashed masses. We're the ones that are going to have to deal with the fallout. The rest of them, well, they're probably going to go sit in their dumbs, which a better acronym has never been made. The deep underground military bases, they are pretty dumb. But you can see how a lot of the wealthiest people, they don't really have any kind of connection mentally or empathically with those that don't have all of that wealth, those that don't have all of the things that they have. They just think, oh, well, they can just live on government subsistence. It's fine. Let them eat cake. That's a problem. That really is. Because that also sends a message to those who are in the poorest things, you know, in the poorest levels of society, to say, well, forget you. We don't care about you. Go live off the state. It's fine. That's a really bad message. Because I don't care how poor I've been, I've done everything that I can to avoid being on government assistance over the years. And I've lived homeless. I've been homeless. And even still then at that point, I did what I could to avoid some kind of handout. But there are a lot of people that take advantage of it, unfortunately. And it really does hurt those that really do need the help. I guess you could say that it really bothers me because I have a lot of personal experience with it both ways. You know, I've lived well off before. Can't say I really cared for it too much, but you know, I've lived that kind of lifestyle before, and I've also lived extremely poorly. And although I can say that living underneath the poverty line sucks as far as getting what you need, there's a lot to be said for that kind of self-sufficiency, to evolve yourself and to grow through adversity. I did a lot of growing when I was homeless. I did a lot of changes in my life when I was homeless because it really did make me take a hard look at the life that I was living before I became homeless and decide I can't live like that anymore. What can I do to change my life? And I'm not saying to go out and be homeless, and I'm not saying that that's something that is not a problem in America. It most definitely is. I mean, but there's such a disconnect that goes on between the wealthy and the poor that it really is scary. I've seen it, like I said, again, on both sides. The fact is that when it comes to homelessness, there are people who think that homeless people are subhuman, that they are not human beings. And this sort of goes into the slavery issue that I was speaking about before, the news article that I was speaking about before. The reason why people fall into that kind of trap is because they get caught in this debt slavery, for instance. And it's so easy for someone who is living poor to fall into the trap to become an actual slave for somebody, where they are forced to work or forced to pay for whatever it is that, or, you know, forced to do whatever it is that their master tells them to do. And they're living with no pay and just their subsistence. And that's it. And if you think about it, honestly, that's the way that it is with a lot of people just in general. We are kind of all stuck in this debt slavery mindset. As I said earlier, the fact is that we have this huge debt problem here in America, especially, and it's becoming worldwide. It really is. The bankers have done everything that they could to get their claws into every single country that's out there. They're succeeding at it very well. But they tempt people. They make it easy for people to fall into the trap of debt. Oh, here's a credit card. They literally throw credit cards at you constantly. We get email, or we get mails here, for instance, on a weekly basis, just throwing credit cards at us. Here, just sign your name on the dotted line and you'll be fine. They make it really easy for people to fall into the trap. And unfortunately, a lot of people are caught in it. It's a constant cycle. oh, well, we have to pay off this credit card debt. So let's use this other credit card to pay off this credit card debt, and we'll pay off the other credit card later. But that later never comes because the debt is always there. So you get in this loop over and over. Okay, so let's go out and get a mortgage to pay off all of the debts that we've got. Well, now we've got this huge debt over our heads. Okay, but we just got $25,000 on our mortgage. Let's go out and spend some money because, hey, we got $25,000 to spend. You see, it's a constant loop that goes on, and it's a horrible situation. And unfortunately, we're falling apart because of it. And I'm hoping that people wake up and open their eyes to all of this stuff, because 27 million people right now worldwide are actual 100% slaves. But how quickly would it be? How quickly would we all fall into that if things start to fall apart big time? If suddenly the debts were all called in and nobody could pay for anything, how quickly would we fall into everybody is a slave? I think pretty fast, just as a matter of survival. We would be begging to become one. We'd see our neighbor who just got all of the food that they could eat. We're sitting there starving. They got all of the food that they could eat and say, well, all I have to do is go and work for this person every day for 12 hours a day. I have to serve them and maybe even service them, whatever it may be. But I have all the food that I could eat. I have heat in my house. Everything's fine. And then you're sitting there starving because nobody's taking care of you. There's no jobs. There's nothing to do. On and on and on. You'd start begging for it too. It could happen very quickly. It could come on us like a lightning bolt. And nobody would be ready for it. It's a pretty scary thought. Okay, I kind of got off on a little tangent there. I'm sorry about that, but I just felt like it needed to be spoken. So maybe there are some out there that needed to hear that. Did the French president just call out the Illuminati for attacking Paris? That's the headline that I saw here. And I watched the video of the French president talking to a crowd. And during the speech that he was giving, he said, those who have committed these actions, those terrorists, those illuminés, those fanatics, have nothing to do with Islam. So if Islamic extremists are not to blame for this incident that happened, then who is? A hint may have been given within the context of his statement. Illuminati seems to be the choice term, which could have two different meanings, depending on the interpreter or the audience. From French to English, Illuminati is translated to mean illuminated. This could mean someone who is a crazy fanatic, and this would be like the obvious translation. But then right after the president says, ces illuminés, why does he then say, ces fanatiques, meaning these fanatics? So he's already saying these fanatics, you see. So why say it twice, one right after the other? It doesn't make any sense. He's literally calling out the Illuminati on this speech. It's interesting. If nothing else, it's interesting and it adds fuel to the fire to the fact that this whole Paris thing was fake. If you listen to my previous episode on Monday, I went into all of the fakery that's surrounding this whole Paris incident. And I really recommend going and listening to it. You can find it in the archives on my website, openeyesnetwork.com. And specifically, you could go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE057 for that particular episode and all of the proof that I have is listed there. You can take a look at it and see just how fake it was. But here we have the president of France coming out and saying it was the Illuminati, you see. It's craziness. Speaking of strange Islamic things, in Saudi Arabia, they happen to have a very large snowfall happen, which is pretty weird in and of itself. But during the snowfall, there were apparently Muslims who were building snowmen. And one of the major Islamic clerics there said building snowmen is forbidden in Islam because it's creating a statue and it's creating an eroticism. I don't get his reference with that, but that is what he claimed. So, so some of the responses to this have been pictures of people building snowmen that like of Muhammad and that sort of thing. And all I could think of was Snowhamid. Anyways, so I thought that was pretty interesting, the fact that this apparently was such a major deal that this cleric had to come out and say, you can't build a snowman. You know, just it's craziness. Some of the things that go on in this world, people, it's just makes me shake my head. I'm telling you. And then just to add as well into the Muslim news here. A Fox News expert claimed that Birmingham in the United Kingdom is a Muslim city and is a no-go zone for anyone who is not a Muslim. And this caused a pretty big backlash to Fox News, as you can imagine. There were on Twitter a lot of people coming out with a hashtag of Fox News Facts. And some of the things that they were saying were just hilarious as a response to this. So, for instance, someone said that Duran Duran were originally known as Karan Karan. In Britain, the weather switches between Sunni and Shiite. And then when arriving at Birmingham International Airport, visitors are compelled to convert all of their currency to Islam. And then the best one, someone even said that Birmingham in the United States is in Alabama. And Black Sabbath is from Birmingham, and I'm fairly sure that Ozzy is not Islamic, though maybe he's been screaming Sharia and not Sharon this entire time without us catching on. I just thought these were pretty funny. You can go to Twitter and take a look at the feed Fox News Facts with that hashtag and see some of the hilarious responses to this. I highly recommend it for a little bit of entertainment. So guys, we have to hit a break here real quick. When we come back, I'm going to be talking, like I said, about the paranormal, specifically about haunted houses and spirits and maybe what they are, what they may not be, and really go into some details, including some personal stories of mine in my dealings with the paranormal. And I hope you guys will find it to be as fascinating of a topic as I do. So guys, stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes after this break.
Hello, this is Dick Farrell here to tell you about OxySilver, legally available only through CureShop.com and HealthyWorldStore.com. Don't be fooled buying silver products from copycats and criminals. You've heard Dr. Leonard Horowitz and experts urge you to avoid deadly vaccinations and illegal operators selling stolen OxySilver and OxySilver copycats. You've heard experts tell you about suppression in alternative medicine and confusing propaganda in healthcare and the truth movement. Read Dr. Horowitz's book, Healing Celebrations, to learn how miracle healings can be made to happen through faith, prayer, and a pure diet. Get get great immunity using vitamin C, D, and OxySilver, Liquid Dentist, GI Flora Pro, a top-shelf probiotic. Use Green Harvest as a great-tasting meal substitute for energizing organic nutrients and losing weight. And Zeola, and natural clays for detoxifying your body. More advice, all these products, and more are available from thecureshop.com. Including OxySilver, the world's most powerful silver hydrosol. Electro-energized to put risky injections, toxic antibiotics, and deadly drug pushers out of business. OxySilver is covalently bonded to water, unlike any other silver product using the frequency of chlorophyll 528. What Dr. Horowitz explains is Pure Tone Love, the universal healer. NASA originally developed covalently body silver hydrosols to keep astronauts healthy in space. Dr. Horowitz added the 528 frequency to NASA's formula and more. OxySilver works three ways to electrocute dangerous germs better than anything, far better than all leading silver products, and without any risk. OxySilver oxygenates and resonates with 528 for faster healing. So help save lives, putting drug lords and criminals out of business, and keep the LNM network broadcasting. Register for our free cooperative at healthworldaffiliates.com/4948. That's healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948. And buy OxySilver and other great products in package specials at great discounts from thecureshop.com. Buy OxySilver, GI Flora Pro, Green Harvest, Zeolove, and Love Minerals at great discounts at cureshop.com. That's cureshop.com with two P's. CureShoppe.com. Or call toll-free at 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Do it now.
Open Eyes seeks out the heart of matters, looking for explanations in places that most other radio hosts refuse to go. No subject is forbidden, and nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes on the Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Open minds, open hearts, open eyes. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Eyes. Thanks for sticking around with us through that break. I know that I talk a lot on my show about topics that are very serious, about topics that are very relevant for our times, and the things that I see going wrong in the world. Unfortunately, a lot of times we do have to focus on those negative topics because, well, we live in a world that's very focused on the negative. The powers that be, the dark masters that are in control, they really put that out there for the masses, make them stare at it for a while, make them stare into the darkness, and essentially try to pull the world down to a level that they want us to be at. Us in the public, us in the great unwashed masses, as I tend to say, the paroles, for lack of better words. Well, they try to do everything that they can to focus our energies on topics that are very dark, very negative, because that's the energy that they want the world to have. They understand that things aren't exactly as they seem on the surface. What we perceive to be reality is not necessarily what reality is. You see, we live in a world that is much different than what we see. It's much different than what we perceive it to be. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that we just don't pay attention to and that we don't realize is going on. And when we have that kind of thing happen, people tend to refer to that as being paranormal or supernatural or whatever it may be. There's so many different terms for it, but you get the idea. These are things that are outside of the norm. They're outside of what our five senses tell us that is there, you see. But they don't even tell us that in reality we actually have more than five senses. We have approximately 20 senses. These things aren't talked about. Our brains work very differently than what people really think that they do. They work in a way that fools us much of the time, that tricks us much of the time. And we don't realize it because we're not conscious of it. It happens on the back burner. It happens in the subconscious, if you will. But just because we don't recognize that it's happening, or just because we don't realize that it's going on, doesn't mean that it's not something that is really happening. And it's that case with the paranormal, at least I believe. I've had a lot of experiences over the years with the paranormal. I know that I've talked a little bit about this on my show, and at times when I've called into Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera, I've talked about it a couple of times on there. For those of you who listen to that show and have heard me speak there, you've probably heard me talk a little bit about some of my paranormal experiences. And I don't necessarily talk a lot about them because it's not necessarily what I focus on a lot of my time, because on my show, I tend to talk more, again, like I said a little bit ago here, about events that are occurring or about things that are hidden from us and our hidden history and the lies that we're being told. But really, the paranormal falls right into that category because these are things that we don't recognize are happening. These are things that we're lied to about constantly. We're told, oh, well, the paranormal doesn't exist. Ghosts don't exist. Extrasensory perceptions don't exist. People don't have experiences with telepathy. They don't have experiences with seeing auras or whatever it may be. Of the hundreds of different things that could happen to you that would fall in this paranormal category, they always have an excuse. Oh, well, you must have been on something, or, oh, you were probably half asleep, or you're lying. You know, they always come up with an excuse for it without actually taking a look at any of the evidence that you're presenting or listening to the story that you're trying to get across. And to me, that's sad because I think that the paranormal does exist. I've had experiences with it. How can I not know that it exists? And I thought I would come on this show tonight and share a little bit of my experiences with you guys, as well as talking in general about things like haunted houses, ghosts, spirits, and that sort of thing, because I think that it's something that a lot of people have experience with, and most people don't realize that they're experiencing it or that they have experienced it until after the fact. And then they look back on their memories and say, oh, you know what? Yeah, that probably was something that happened there. Now, just to start things off, for those who may not know this already, I'm the type of person who, I guess you could say, has been quote unquote gifted to be able to do things. I don't necessarily consider them different than anybody else, because I do believe that everybody has the potential to experience these things. But for whatever reason, I'm aware of it a lot more than what most people are. I can see ghosts. I can hear ghosts. The classic idea of, okay, well, there's a ghost in the house. I can hear them. I can feel them. I can see them. That sort of thing. I can also feel them when they're around. They may not necessarily show themselves to me or be overtly in my vision, but I at least know when they're around. And it's been this way since I was a small child. It's something that's always been with me, and I've never really thought anything different of it. Some of you who know my backstory are aware of some of the things that I've gone through with all of that. And I won't necessarily rehash it here, but you might hear me talk a little bit about it here in this episode. But getting to the point, there really are such things as ghosts. They are real. I've seen them. I've heard them. I've felt them. I know that they're there. And I think that most people out there have had an experience with the spiritual realm without necessarily recognizing that they have. You hear the classic story of the haunted house. What is a haunted house? You know, it's where a ghost is living in this area or this house or whatever it may be, and is, well, a lot of times you'll hear the idea that they're scaring the people that live there. They're doing it intentionally. They want people to leave. For as many people as there are, there's probably just as many ghost stories and the encounters that they've had. And that's what people would normally think of as being a haunted house, is a spirit haunting. So you have this house where a ghost has attached itself to the house. It may be somebody that lived there in the past and has just never moved on. It may be somebody that has attached themselves to an object or a person that is living there in the house. It may be an area, like a football field, and the football player that is haunting it died on the football field, and now their spirit is trapped there. Just giving random examples, but you get the idea. That's the classic idea of a haunted house, is a spirit that has been trapped there. Well, there's also areas that are, I believe, being haunted by a demonic entity or another. And I've seen this happen a couple of times over the years, where instead of a spirit being trapped there, like a spirit of a person who has died and has become trapped there, instead of that, it is actually a demonic entity that has taken roost in the place that this person is living or these people are living or whatever it may be. Demons do exist. They are real. I'll probably touch on what they are in a future show, because a lot of people do have a lot of questions on that subject. But suffice it to say that, yes, sometimes they do live in a house and they're terrorizing the people that live there, because that's one thing that they like to do, is live on fear. They love to torture people. You also have the idea of a poltergeist. Poltergeists, I believe, actually are not actual spirit hauntings. In my experience over the years, what I've encountered of what you would consider to be poltergeists are actually derived from a person that is living in the location, in the house. Usually it's a child, but sometimes it's an adult. This person has gone through a lot of trauma in their life. It could be physical trauma, emotional trauma, whatever. They've built up a lot of anger energy inside of them. So you have this person who has this rage built up in them because they are so tortured, either physically or emotionally or spiritually. And they have built this rage inside of them, or this such abject despair. Usually, though, it's an anger emotion. And instead of lashing out at the people who are around them, this child or adult who has held on to this traumatic energy lashes out spiritually at people. And so you'll see pots or pans being thrown around. You'll see cupboards slamming open. You'll see things lifting up and slamming down. You know, very violent sort of actions. And this acts as a spiritual release valve of a kind, as a way for this person to release some of this rage or release some of this despair in a way that doesn't cause harm to other people, or it doesn't cause harm intentionally to other people. Let me clarify that, because sometimes poltergeist events do cause harm to people. But you see, it instead of the person picking up a knife and stabbing the person or throwing fists at them or whatever the case may be, instead of doing something like that, they are lashing out through objects being picked up and thrown and that sort of thing. It more of a telekinetic type of experience, as opposed to it being an actual spirit haunting. A lot of times with poltergeists, you'll find that the person who is at the center of it is, as I said, a small child. Mostly, I find that to be that way most of the time, because children, they don't have the capability to suppress their emotions as well as adults do. So even adults who have gone through these different traumatic experiences, they've learned to stave it down a little bit, you know, stave it off a little bit, so that it doesn't cause them to have disturbances in their daily life and they can actually function as a human being. A child doesn't necessarily know how to do that yet. They haven't learned the skills to be able to compensate and hide the things that they're going through. They wear their hearts on their sleeves, almost literally. So when they're going through their traumatic events, they have the tendency to be the ones that are of that poltergeist type of thing. And, you know, a poltergeist event, just to finish the topic here of poltergeists, it doesn't even necessarily have to be something that's really overt. It could be as simple as the parent of the child will find they wake up with scratches on them, or with sores appearing on them, or waking up and not understanding why their body is hurting as bad as it is. And this is actually another type of a poltergeist attack. It's an attack in the way, instead of it being extreme, it's a small release, you see. So that to me is what I've found over the years to be a poltergeist haunting. And then as far as other hauntings goes, yeah, a lot of times it'll be just dumb stories that people are passing back and forth, sort of like urban legends. And I'm sure you've heard a lot of urban legends over the years. The thing about urban legends and about these different stories that people tell is that a lot of times they do have a seed of truth to them. So it's important to pay attention to those types of stories, because sometimes you'll find in the background of the story there is actually something going on, and it just may be embellished a lot, like a game of telephone being played. It may just be embellished a lot as time goes on. So in general, that's what people tend to think of when it comes to haunted houses. They generally will fall into one of those categories: a poltergeist, a spiritual haunting, a demonic haunting, or just a story that's being told. Now, I have had quite a bit of experiences over the years myself when it comes to ghosts and dealing with them. And there's a few of them that I'd actually like to tell you guys, because I find them fascinating to me. Like I said, a lot of times I don't necessarily see them, mostly because my vision is bad. So a lot of times with me, it's not necessarily seeing them so much as it is hearing them and definitely feeling them. I hear them, though, quite clearly. A lot of times I've noticed that people that do have this type of capability of being able to know when they're there, of being able to hear them, see them, feel them, whatever it may be, the spirits will tend to seek the people out that can do those things, because, well, they're just people. Okay. Spirits are people. And they just want to get their story told. They want people to hear them and to understand that they're a person. They want to get their story out. And so they'll seek out people that can see or hear them. And especially children. Children really do hear and see them a lot more than parents want to acknowledge. And I'll get into all that here in a little while. But when I was younger, much younger, I was about 8 years old, we lived in a house that had a basement. It was a two-story house with a basement, but it also had a sub-basement to it as well. And for a number of years, I actually thought that this sub-basement was built likely as a tornado shelter of sorts, you know, like an extra shelter. And I've actually come to think that it may actually be something else, something different, that there may have been actual more nefarious purposes for this sub-basement to be put into place. But regardless, in this sub-basement, there were multiple holes dug into the sides that were close to the ceiling area of it. And all of these holes, it looked like they were room for slats to go across. Like you'd put a board into one hole and take it across to the other one and insert it into the other hole, and it would act as a support base for the actual basement floor, if that makes sense. So one day, being the investigative child that I was, I went down into this sub-basement to take a look and see what I could see. My parents always told me, don't go down there. And of course, I went down there. And while I was down there, I felt a very heavy presence come over me. It was very strong. I didn't see anything at that time, but I felt it in a big way. I thought to myself, okay, this isn't good. I need to get out of here. And as I started to climb the ladder back up to the basement area so that I can get up to the regular house, I looked into the holes that were in the sides of these walls, and I noticed eyes staring at me. And there were many of them. And they were all red. They were all looking me right in the face. Well, I scrambled out of there pretty quickly at that point, and I never went back down into that sub-basement again. The presence that I felt, it was something that was very dark. It did not want me there at all. And as I said, over the years, I've actually come to think that there actually probably was something very nefarious that was going on down in that sub-basement before we moved in. And I've just never actually found out exactly what it was. Now, that one was a very scary one, as you can imagine. As I said, I was only about 8 years old at this point, and that's kind of a traumatic thing for a little one to go through. And yes, I know you may be sitting there saying, oh, well, no wonder you're so warped, but I'm not denying that that's a possibility. That's my first real strong memory of an encounter with the spiritual realm that I can remember anyway. Another one that sticks out in my mind a lot is when I was about 12 years old. My family moved to Virginia. My mother took a job on a old plantation that's there. It was at the foot of a mountain range, actually. And I found out later, actually, that this plantation was owned by one of Abraham Lincoln's top aides. I always thought that was rather interesting. But anyways, my mother took a job as a maid in the big house that was there. So my family moved there, and I had the run of the place pretty well. As I said, I was about 12 years old at this time, and I really enjoyed my time being there, but there was one experience that I had there. There was actually many experiences that I had in this place. As you can imagine, it's an old place and there's a lot of history to it. There's a lot of things that are going on in that place that is attributed to its history. But the memory that sticks out the most in my mind with this place is one day I was riding on my bike, and I was going through a large field that was away from the house a ways. And as I was going through this field, I could feel a very dark energy, but it wasn't an evil energy. It was more of a sadness or despair. And as I felt the energy getting stronger and stronger, I found myself having a more difficult time moving my bike through the field here. And I looked down and I realized that out of nowhere, thorny brambles seemed to be growing all around. It was very quick. They came up out of nowhere, essentially. And they were grabbing on my legs, came up over my arms, into my chest area, and were scratching at me. I actually still have quite a few scars on my body from the deep cuts that I got from this set of thorns that were pushing into me in this experience. And the energy that I felt, it felt very strong and like it was almost kind of choking me a little bit, but I could still breathe, just to clarify. And, you know, I'm looking back on it here in my memory, and it was a deep darkness that was over me with this. It was like the whole light around me was gloomy, even though it was in the middle of the day and bright and sun shining out. You know, it was very dark to me. I sent out this pleading voice, but yet I didn't speak it, begging to let me go, to release me. There were other things that ended up occurring during this event that I don't really want to go into, but I did get away from it. And I found later that the area that I had gone into was one of the spots that had housed the slaves during its heyday, during the heyday of this plantation. And they're actually in that area on the plantation are still old slave houses from back in the 1800s. They're very much falling apart, but you could still see them if you went there. The area that I had ended up going into was a place that had housed many slaves. I think, if I remember correctly, there was about 50 that were housed in this little zone. And I'm convinced that what I felt was the energy from that time period, the despair and the sadness and the hopelessness, the darkness. It really is very present there. And I think that the brambles, the thorns that came up and wrapped themselves around me were kind of a physical representation of the trapped energy that these people felt while they were there, not being able to get away, being enslaved, being held in place. And it was like the spirits there were trying to give me an idea of what it felt like to be them. I don't think that they necessarily had a vengeance energy to them, because I didn't feel that. I just felt this great despair and great sadness and horror there. But it was not a vindictive thing, and it was not it wasn't a thing that they were trying to punish me or anything like that, or to enact some sort of revenge on me for being there or anything along those lines. It wasn't that type of an energy to me. But I came away from it cut and bruised and scarred in my body now. And I look at these scars on me and I remember what happened during that event. And, you know, I'm sitting here right now actually touching one of the scars, and it's, I can feel still the energy that was present there. And I can feel the depth of the sadness and agony and misery that these people felt. And I realize how much they went through during their lifetimes there. Some of them were there for their entire lives, born there, born into it. And I guess you can say that I have a unique viewpoint on what it's like to be a slave because of this event, because of this thing that occurred to me. I felt what they felt. Maybe not the depths that they felt it at, but I at least understand at least some part of what they went through. And for that, I'm actually grateful for the experience, because I'm never going to put somebody else through that myself. I'll never allow anybody to do that to anybody. So I come away from it with a new knowledge and a new depth of understanding. And for that, I'm grateful. As I said, this is what I think happens with ghosts, with spirits, with these entities and these energies that go on. I don't think that they're there trying to scare people or trying to hurt anybody, but they're there to tell their story. Just like this, these people told me their story in the best way that they could. They made me understand their story firsthand. And that, I think, is what exactly happens with spirits. They don't want to hurt anyone. And no matter how angry or vengeful or anything along those lines are concerned, they're not there to hurt. They're there to get their story across. And some of them have very dark, horrifying stories to tell, but it's still just their story. You know, it's like watching a scary movie or watching a movie that makes you feel sad or makes you feel angry or whatever it may be. It's still a story. You can experience it, but it's still a story. And it's the same with these. So, you know, I've never actually told the full depth of that plantation story to anybody before. I've spoken about the thorns and the events that happened to me with it, but I've never actually sat and explained to anybody the depth of what it meant to me or the extent at which it took place. So I hope that you guys feel a little proud for taking part in this, because I've never actually said it before. There's another story that I wanted to tell as well that is, I guess you could say, a lot darker. This one actually was a demonic haunting, I believe, because of the things that occurred with it. When I was younger, during my teen years, my mother and I, at this point, mom and dad had been divorced, and I was living with my mother. My mother and I took in one of my friends who lived with us. She was my best friend for many years. She lived with us for quite some time during this period. She slept in, I guess you could say, the utility room. It was the area of the house that had the washer and dryer and water heater and all that stuff. We had set her up a little bed in there and everything. But a lot of times she slept on the floor just because she found it to be more comfortable. And this house that we lived in was a small house, but it had quite a bit of a history to it. The house actually was at one time owned by a family who did some very dark rituals in this house. They, I don't think, actually were necessarily satanic or anything like that. The stories that I found about them in the newspapers claimed that they were of, you know, satanic rituals, but I don't think it was actually that. I think it was actually something a lot darker and a lot more different. Needless to say, there was a lot of things that happened in this house that I knew. For instance, there was a girl whose spirit was trapped in that house. She had always remained very hidden from me, but I had felt her presence quite a few times. A very young girl, actually. She was, from the feel of it, she was only about 5 or 6 years old at the most. One night, she woke up and she started screaming. I heard her screaming and I ran into the utility room to find out what was going on. And she was laying on the floor from where she had been sleeping. And there were hands coming from the floor wrapped around her body in different places. So she had hands that were coming up and covering her chest and one's on her legs and one on her forehead. And they were seeming like they were trying to pull her into the floor, pull her down into the ground, basically. And I ran up and I started slapping the hands away, grabbing hold of them and pulling them apart and prying them away from her. And these things were strong. They were horribly strong. From the inside of me, I could feel it building up. I sent forth this huge amount of energy, like it was a weapon, like it was a bomb of some kind that had just built up inside of me. And I screamed, "Get off of her!" And the hands dissipated. They dissipated away. She was able to get up and, well, we ran out of the house. Middle of the night, we're both dressed in our night clothes, tripping out, trying to figure out what went on, what happened. She had her nightgown was ripped in different places. She had bruises that were forming welts from where these hands had grabbed her. This was a scary experience for her. She stopped living with us very soon after that, as you can probably imagine. But when that ended up occurring, it was like something released in the house. It was, I don't know if you can necessarily say that I exorcised this demon away or anything along those lines, but whatever it may be, this entity that was there left. It decided apparently that it didn't want to deal with somebody that could use something against it, I guess. It's the only thing I can think of, really. The night after this ended up occurring, and we could feel this release in the house, you know, that it had always had this heavy feeling over it. And it was no longer there after this night had happened. I was laying in bed and I was getting ready to go to sleep, and I could hear my door open. So I opened my eyes and I looked over, and I could see that my door was drifting open and it had been latched shut. And I didn't see her, but I could feel the presence of the girl, this little girl. She came next to me and I could feel it clear as day, kissed me on the forehead, and I could hear her give this kind of little giggle, and I felt her presence going away from me, and then the door closed. And I didn't see or hear or feel her in that house after that. It's like the house was clean. It had no presence in it anymore. So I'm wondering, basically, as I look back on this event in my life, if what ended up occurring is a demonic spirit was there and had the spirit of this little girl trapped with it. And that when whatever it is that I did to it happened and it went away, the little girl was then free to go her own way. And she basically was thanking me for doing it. So for me, I guess, like I said, I've had a lot of experiences over the years. These three that I've told here, they're actually just a small portion of the different things that I've had occur to me over the years. And I'm really grateful for them. I'm grateful for the things that I've gone through, because it's taught me a lot of lessons over the years about what we really are, about who we really are, and the fact that we continue past what we see right now, that this is not the only point that we exist, that there is something afterwards, whether it's just us being energy or whatever, doesn't matter. I have my own understanding of things, which I'm sure you'll hear me go into at some point in the future. And if you've listened to any of my shows in the past, you'll catch knowledge of where I stand with it. But we are not just what you see right now. These bodies that we're in, they're just temporary vessels for the soul that we really are. Now, what we really are, that's not for this show. Or that's not for this episode, at least. So, guys, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here. But when we come back, I am going to go into what I think haunted houses really are, possibly what they could be, giving kind of an alternative viewpoint to things, and maybe what you can do if you do have a haunting going on, if you don't want it there, what you can do to change things, as well as some other topics. So hang with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about all of that after the break. The new priests are the purveyors of the now. The if you don't get this right now, you're doomed mindset that is surrounding us was created by these men in black, these dark masters, these puppet masters that control the strings. They, the ones with the real knowledge of how reality works, those that know and understand the origins of us, those are the ones controlling the masses through the media, through the politics, through everything that causes us to be divided, losing the sense of what is really real. That reality is that we are all connected, all together in this thought experiment that the universe is running. We are intimately connected together, forever traveling through the universe at light speed. We're all breathing the same air, the same energies pass through us, the same emotions that you feel are the same emotions that I feel. We are all one. Stop being divided by them. Stop letting the priests of chaos and blight rule you. Stop believing the lies.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the L&M Network at LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
I'm fighting to protect, always shatter into pieces in the end. Oh,
welcome back to Open Eyes. Bring me back to life indeed. I really love that song. I thought it was appropriate for tonight's topic that we continue on. This is not just what we have. We can come back to life anytime we want. So guys, hello again. My name is Ira. We are having, I think, a very interesting discussion about haunted houses, about the spiritual realm of things, about the paranormal. It's a topic that I'm always interested in. It's a topic that I have a lot of experience with. And I hope that you guys are enjoying what I've bringing to you so far with the personal stories and that sort of thing. I wanted to go into what I think happens a lot of times when it comes to haunted houses. We sort of have this idea of a haunted house being a spirit, and that's pretty much it, that it's a spiritual entity that is in a location that has taken its hold or taken root in a particular house or area or whatever it may be. And that's a very distinct possibility. We see those of us who have a lot of encounters with the paranormal. We see that happen actually a lot. For whatever reason, a spirit will become trapped in a place. Sometimes it's by choice, and sometimes it's by accident, and sometimes it's because they don't even realize that they have passed on. I have had a lot of encounters with ones that had no clue that they were dead. They just didn't even realize it. It didn't enter into their consciousness that they had passed on. And so they were basically still functioning as if they were alive and doing their daily thing, doing their daily routine. We see, I guess you could say, a lot of children that end up becoming spirits. And I think it's because a lot of times children, they're so close to being that pure spirit anyways, that if a child ends up passing away, they tend to not even really realize that it happened. They don't really become fully conscious that it occurred. And so a lot of those of us who have these encounters will find that a great number of them are little ones. For whatever reason it may be. There may be other reasons for it as well, but this is what I've come to understand over the years. But I wanted to, I guess, bring forward an idea that steps sideways from the traditional haunted house idea and bring it to you, because I think actually this is what ends up occurring a lot more than what you would consider to be a traditional spiritual haunting, or a haunting that's done by a ghost or a demon or whatever. In my experience of things, we are surrounded at all times, everywhere, by what I term as the universal consciousness field. I've heard it called a lot of different things over the years, but I tend to use that phrase just for my own simplicity's sake. But I've heard a lot of people call it like the Akashic field, God, the force. any number of things can apply. It's this energy that is surrounding us. It's within us, it's without us. It is all over the place. It is everywhere. As I said, I call it the universal consciousness field. So this universal consciousness field, it contains all of the history of everything that has occurred. I liken it to a hard drive on a computer that stores all of the data of all of the events that have ever occurred, all of the placements of everything, you know, all of space-time essentially is recorded onto this hard drive. You could also think of it as being a tape player, you know, for those of you who are old enough to remember what a cassette tape is. You could consider it to be a tape player that has recorded everything that's gone on. And sometimes things go a little weird with this field or with the tape that's there. So let's take an example. Let's say that an event of great magnitude, either positive or negative, occurs in a house or in an area. If it is of sufficient magnitude, one way or the other, it causes a kink or a ripple to appear in the universal consciousness field. It leaves an indelible mark on that spot. And it creates what I call an energy vortex. I've heard a lot of different people call it a lot of different things over the years as well. But I tend to call them energy vortexes because that's sort of what they're like. It's a field of energy that's there that is replaying the events that have occurred there. There is an energy that's there that has taken on the aspect or is tainted by the event and by the emotions of the event, whether it be, again, positive or negative. A lot of times they do tend to be negative because, unfortunately, we live in a world that focuses a lot on the negative. And so that tends to be what is most often written. So let's say, for example, there is a house, and in the house moves a family. You've got your mother, your father, your two kids, and your 2.5 dogs. Okay. So into this house moves this average everyday family, and everything is fine. There's no issues with the family. They're all just doing their thing. getting along just fine. But one day, the father loses his job. And because he loses his job, he's having a difficult time finding another. The wife starts getting more and more upset. They start fighting every day, more and more. The energy level of the house is brought down quite a bit. There's always a negative aspect to it all. And then the father starts drinking. The alcoholism gets to the point that he starts to become violent, and he starts lashing out at his wife and his kids. And one day, the wife gets sick of it, and she ends up having an affair. And the father finds the wife having this affair, and he kills her. And maybe even the person that she's having the affair with. And then maybe kills himself out of grief, or kills his kids, or his 2.5 dogs. Whatever it may be, this is just an example, right? Well, that event is what you would classify as being a very traumatic event, and maybe sufficiently traumatic enough to leave a mark or this kink on the universal consciousness field in that house or in that zone. So then later down the line, 10, 20 years later, another family moves into the house. This family is the average family, the father, the mother, a kid, 2.5 cats, whatever it may be. And this family moves in. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them at all. They're completely a normal, average family. But after they move in, the energy level of the family starts to come down. They actually take on the aspects or the emotions or the energy level of that particular house or that particular zone. You see, the universal consciousness field, the energy that comes from it is so powerful that it can overwrite the emotional normalcy of whoever is in the area. Let's say, for example, you go to a place that has been filled with a series of traumas. You can feel the energy level from it. You can feel this impending doom on you, or you can feel this darkness on you while you're in that area. So again, getting back to the story, the father starts to become darker and darker and more negative. And he starts to drink for no reason at all. He becomes more and more depressed and more violent. And there's no reason for it to happen. It's just, this is how he's becoming. There's no explanation for it, right? Well, the explanation is that he's been taking on the energy, being tainted by the energy from this energy vortex that's been formed in that location. He becomes molded into the template of that area. And then maybe it ends up getting dark enough that one day he snaps and kills his wife or kills his kids or whatever the case may be. And that just adds to the energy of the area. It perpetuates over and over again. For another example of an energy vortex, one that I tend to talk about because I've had some personal experience with it, is on the positive side, actually. If you go to the area where Woodstock took place, you can actually feel the energy from the event that occurred there, you know, the big concert that took place there, where everybody that was there was focused on love and freedom and expressing themselves and free speech and so on and so forth. There was a distinct energy to Woodstock, to the event that occurred there. And it was large enough, it was big enough that it left a mark on the field. So you could go there right now, and even if you didn't know what happened there, you would feel the positive energy from it still in that place. For an opposite example, you could go to a place like Auschwitz, the concentration camp in Germany, and you could go into that zone, and even if you didn't know anything that occurred there during World War II, for example, you would still feel the darkness there. You would still feel that dark energy that just permeates the whole area there. I know people that have gone there and they have told me that this is exactly what happens there. They can feel everything from that time period. This is decades ago, and this energy is still there. This is how it is. So if you're in an area for a long enough period of time, the energy level of this vortex will start to overwrite the person that you are and the personality that you are. Because all of that is very malleable, you see. Our emotions, our personality, all of that stuff is very easy to manipulate. It's very easy to change, whether you think so or not. This is something that the Dark Masters, for instance, have become very adept at. They are very adept at manipulating people's emotions and personality. They will do what they can to change people to become something else. Think about the experiments that they've done, for example, through MK Ultra, and you'll find how actually easy it was for them to, and is, for them to break down the personality of the person that they are targeting and change them into something else, overwrite their original personality into something else that they want them to be so that they can be a useful minion, basically. So it's not that hard to overwrite your personality. It's not that hard to overwrite your emotions. Whether you think so or not, it does occur. So, and it's even more so with this universal consciousness field because it is everything that permeates all of existence. So whatever is coming from that field easily overwrites what you are. As I said, it's a lot easier than you would expect it to be. It's shocking how different we are in actuality from what we perceive ourselves to be. Our soul is not our personality. It is something different. Our personality is just a figment of our brain, or a remnant of our brain as it is going through its daily motions. It's just a combination of the events that you've gone through and the morality or ethics that you've placed on yourself. That's essentially what your personality is when you break it all down. So if someone could, for example, take that away from you, could make you forget it, as an example, and then overwrite it with something else, the original personality that you are or were no longer exists, and you can become something completely different that has no relation to what you were before. This happens sometimes with patients that lose functionality in certain parts of their brain, in certain parts of their personality sections of their brain. They will come away from it as a different person entirely, and essentially, other than their looks, unrecognizable to those who once loved and cared for them. They're now a completely different person. The same thing happens again with these energy vortexes. Now, going with the idea of the spirits or ghosts, a lot of times people will experience a house that they believe is haunted, but is in actuality not. They might think that there is a spirit there, but there actually isn't. A lot of times, and I'm going to say actually the majority of times, at least in my experience, it's actually an energy vortex that's going on. So what ends up occurring is during these events that happen that cause these kinks to occur or these fingerprints to occur in the vortex, the event will sometimes record the exact steps, like a videotape or you know, a video recorder has recorded the event and has left this marked on the consciousness field, on this field that surrounds us all. So you have, let's say, for example, the way to tell the difference between the two, between a spirit haunting and between an energy vortex haunting, is whether or not things play out exactly the same each time. So I'll give an example. I'm sure that you've heard stories of a hotel that someone died in the hotel at one time or another. And the different people that work there, the maid service, the hotel keepers, the managers, that sort of thing, they might see the person who died walking the hallways. They're walking through the hallway, or they're walking through the hall and they go up to a door and they disappear as they enter into the door. And it's the same thing every time. It's the same event occurring every time. Well, that's not a spirit, or at least is likely not to be a spirit. That's an energy vortex that's occurring. If the haunting is the exact same each time, it's a recording. It's a recording that's playing. It's not actually a ghost that's there. So the way to tell the difference between the two is if the event, or if the haunting does something different each time, then that is likely to be a spirit. If the thing that occurs is a duplicate each time, that is likely to be an energy vortex. So, for example, if you go to Gettysburg, where the Battle of Gettysburg took place, a lot of people talk about seeing soldiers walking through the streets. They talk about going to fields and that sort of thing outside of town and seeing the soldiers going through their battle over and over again. And at certain time periods of the year, at certain phases of the moon, you know, whatever it may be, the event gets triggered and it gets played. And that's what happens. A lot of times what ends up occurring is as we go through the year and the energy levels of the world are reaching an equilibrium that equals whatever this energy vortex has recorded on it, then the event ends up playing out. So just in case you're confused about it, I can give an example of this. At a hotel, for instance, you might see a party occurring in a certain ballroom each Christmas day. And this may be reflecting an event that occurred at some point in the past where a party took place on Christmas Day, and it was a positive enough event that it wrote itself into the energy field. Okay. And so then each time the world comes into that time period, the event replays because the energy is equal to what was written in the consciousness field. Just as an example, a lot of times with energy vortexes, what you'll see is, or what you'll find is knocking sounds. You'll maybe see somebody walking from one location to another. You'll see a door open and shut. You'll see a cupboard open and shut, that sort of thing. And it's always the exact same each time. That's a vortex. Now, if it's a spirit, you might see the spirit walking from one location to another. And then the next day or the next week, you'll see it doing something else. They'll walk from one place to another in a different spot. They'll knock, and then the next day they'll pick an object up beside you and put it back down again. Whatever it may be, a spirit will do something different each time because they're trying to get your attention. They're trying to get your attention so that they can get their story told, you see. And if you can recognize that, okay, somebody is here, go ahead and tell me your story, then they'll get that story to you somehow, whether it be through a dream. One day you're sitting down and you're writing something and suddenly a story comes to your mind and you write it out. Whatever it may be, the story gets told. And then because the story has been told, a lot of times the spirit will then move on. It will progress forward. It will leave. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times that's what ends up happening because they just want the attention. They just want you to know that they're there, that they have something to say. And if you let them say it, they're done. So I have a lot of people ask me, what can be done about these energy vortexes? I just kind of said what can be done about a spirit. If it's a positive spirit especially, that's what is the best thing to do. You can have them tell their story to you. If it's a negative spirit, you can do that. They may not necessarily want to leave afterwards. They're the ones that tend to hang out and remain. So they may not want to move on, but there are ways to get them to move on. If you make them feel unwelcome there, a lot of times they will move forward. They will move on away from that place. And there's different ways to do that. Now, as far as energy vortexes goes, there's a few things that could be done that I'll go into here. If it's a positive vortex, I say go with it because we really could use a lot more positivity in the world. And that's something I think that is a good. Make use of it. Why not, right? If it's a negative vortex, though, there's not really a whole lot that could be done about it. I mean, these vortexes, if you think about it this way, the way to negate them is to do something as potent as the event that caused it to happen in the first place so that it essentially evens the field out. It evens out that kink that's there. So if it's a negative vortex that's there, you have to do an event that is sufficiently positive enough that it counteracts that negative vortex. And that may not necessarily be the easiest thing to do. If you think about it this way, again, going back to the examples that I gave earlier in the episode here, you know, the vortex could have formed because of a death, because somebody killed somebody. You have to do something that is of a sufficiently positive thing to negate that traumatic event. And that's a pretty major negative event that occurred. Okay. So that's really the only way to get rid of a negative vortex is to hit it with just as much positive. You got to really sit and think, what can I do that's going to be positive enough to negate a murder? You know, have a baby in the house? I don't know. Whatever it may be. The only other thing that I would recommend to do is if you're in the negative vortex area, leave. Get out of it. Because as I said earlier, these vortexes will overwrite you. They will change either you or those that live there with you. It will cause a personality change to occur, and you don't want that to happen. You want to have control over who you are. So you don't want to have something happen that's going to end up negating you to the point or changing you to the point that you kill somebody in your family, for instance. Now, one thing that I will say in regards to this whole energy vortex thing, and this is something that I try to get across to people a lot, because it's something that I think is really important. Think about things this way. Right now, we are being surrounded by, as I said earlier, a lot of negativity. We are being surrounded by a lot of things that are going on that are very dark and very horrible. And they're being put on by the dark masters, by the power elite, by the powers that be, whatever it is that you want to call them. They're causing these things to occur. And I'm of the firm belief that they know and understand how this whole vortex thing works. I'm fully of the belief of this. And I could be wrong, but prove me wrong. So because they know and understand that this is how reality works, that these vortexes exist, what I see them trying to do is cause enough people to think enough negatively to cause a vortex around the whole country or around the whole world. Because as I said, these vortexes will overwrite whatever emotions you have and whatever personality you have. And they're using this as a weapon against us. They're causing the masses of humanity to think as dark and negative and evilly as they can, to think that sex is the only thing that matters, to think that, oh, well, it's okay if the government goes out and drone kills 100 children at a school. That doesn't matter. It didn't happen here in our country, and it didn't happen to us. None of my kids were involved. You know, they make it so that you no longer have a conscience and no longer have empathy for other people. I really do think that that's exactly what this vortex that they're creating is designed to do. So they're using it, as I said, again, as a weapon against us. I see it happening. I really do. I'm seeing people that I have known and loved for years looking at these different events that occur, and they're losing their sympathy. They're losing their empathy. They're losing their ability to connect with another human being, regardless of where they are or what they've done. And that changes people. That makes them to be very dark. That makes them be very negative. There's a reason why they're doing all of this. The reason is because, and again, this is all a fractal thing. This is not the only reason, but it really is up there on the list, I think. They're making it so that we are the ultimate slave mentality for them. We are all about the now. We are all about, you know, self-gratification and full gratification and instant gratification, no matter what the cost may be. We're about taking as much of a handout that we can get from the government entities and not care about personal responsibilities. You see, for each of these negative things that occur, it adds that much more into the energy vortex that they're creating with all of this. And it really is to a dark purpose. So what can we do about it? Well, we can do everything that we can to counteract that negativity. Stop thinking about just yourself. The thing that I would say would really benefit people is to stop asking the question, what can I get? And start asking the question, what can I give? Because that giving mentality, that giving action is such a positive thing. It resonates so strong because one little thing that you do to give of yourself to someone else can radically change their lives forever from that point on. Giving somebody a warm jacket that you don't have a use for anymore in a cold winter day can make all the difference in the world to that person. You could literally mean the difference between life and death to that person. And that person could then go on and share that positive event that occurred. It resonates, guys. It resonates so hard. So stop asking the question, what can I get? And start asking the question, what can I give? That giving action is so amazingly powerful that it can rip apart the darkness and the negativity that these dark masters want us to feel. It really can tear a hole right through it. And I guess that's the best message that I can give in regards to all of this. We have, again, we're surrounded by this field at all times. We're always within it. We're always taking part in it. We breathe it in and out with every breath. Our cells are intimately connected to it. It is the energy that we are created from. It is everything. And we, as human beings, are, I guess you could say, special enough that we are conscious of the fact that this thing occurs and that it's there. And that is something really special. We really can make a big difference with all of this. So you see, guys, it wasn't just about haunted houses. It was about everything. And I'm unfortunately out of time. I really hate to be, because I could go on about this subject for a really long time. And I have gone on about this for a really long time to people that I talk to about all of it. But I guess take away from this what you can, and understand that things are not what they seem. Understand that things are a lot different than what we perceive them to be. So guys, if you want to send me an email, send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, they are at openeyesnetwork.com/OE058. If you want to find us on Facebook and Twitter, you can go to our platform on both of those at Open Eyes Network. And you can find us on scene.is at Ira Robinson. On Friday, I am going to be talking about the issues that I see going on with the lies that we're told on a constant basis when it comes to our health and some of the information that has come out lately that I think is really important to understand. Hopefully we can cut through some of the lies and you'll come to a better understanding of why they do it and what they're doing to us. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera will be bringing you Late Night in the Midlands in just a few minutes. It's going to be a really good show, I think. And until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, tune in on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com.